All right, welcome Christian Israel, Pastor Eli James here. Today we're going to continue with part two of the mistaken J, which is done by a Missouri identity group. And I have to tell you, even for Americans, they're not familiar with the Ozarks. The Ozarks are ground central of the Christian identity movement in America. There is more little congregations here and there in Arkansas and Missouri, stretching into Oklahoma and Texas, and a little bit into Illinois, but certainly into Tennessee, which borders Arkansas and also borders Illinois and Kentucky. This is the ground central of the Christian identity movement in America, and our people know who they are, and they know who the Jews are. I'm not going to be talking about the Jews so much in this episode, because I think Brother Abair and I think we set a record today about using the name Jew and Jews in our broadcast. So, but I never get tired of that subject, because I know that the Jews have pretended to be Israel now for 2,000 years, and it's hard to undo 2,000 years of propaganda in just one or two shows. So we have to keep on hammering away at this subject. But first I'm going to talk a little bit about this problem of the algae and bacteria growing in your fuel tank. And it's one of those situations where we have to be careful. Those of you who have the name, because I use gasoline, not diesel, okay? Those of you who have diesel engines, a problem has recently developed where the fuel separates from, because diesel fuel is basically petroleum, mostly unrefined petroleum stuck in your fuel tank. But that contains a lot of bacteria, and the bacteria in this fuel separates. There's a layer between the top, which is the petroleum, and underneath there's water and who knows what else. And in between those two layers, bacteria and algae and all kinds of other things grow. And these things can clog up your injectors. So there are products available which will dissolve that problem, because you can be driving down the road happily and all of a sudden your engine ceases to work. You can be stranded somewhere, you know, like in a big city like Chicago or New York or L.A., the city of fallen angels, et cetera, et cetera. So you can buy a product which will dissolve that bacteria in your tank. And so you need to have that on hand, because you may be stranded and have no idea why. And there are a lot of mechanics who aren't aware of this problem. So go ahead and do some research on that. Bacteria in your gas tank, if you have a diesel engine, very important for you diesel engine owners, to get that problem fixed, okay? So we're going to be continuing on the subject of mistaken J. The mistaken J, I'm pretty sure I put the link in the chat room, and I think Lily put the link in the Telegram chat room as well. So I'm going to get started here with the mistaken J. I was basically doing this article. Sorry, I'm having difficulty with my computer. I'm almost there. Here we go. Finally got it up. Okay. Unfortunately, I have to have many windows open, and there's like 10 windows in my top bar, search bar. And so I finally found the right one. And I'll pick it up where I left off last week, where Webster's Universal Dictionary, 1936, reinforces the fact of the early relationship of the letter J to the letter I. And, of course, this is being done in response to that really awful website, I Saw the Darkness, isawthelight.com, which is nothing but Jewish darkness. And, again, thank you to Michael Swede for finding that it looked to be like an obsolete page from this website that has been deleted because I could not find it on the current website. But he had saved a copy of that website from a few years back, and he found the page which announces the fact that the owner of the website is part Jewish and that he loves blacks, Latinos, Mexicans, Asians, but he does not express any love for white people. He does not express any love for the true Israelites. So I'm going to be talking about that again next Friday. But let's continue here. We're talking about the letter J, and the reason I bring it up is because the author of that website, if you go to isawthelightministries.com, the front page article claims that the name of Yahweh should actually be pronounced Jesus. And he bends over backwards to try to claim that the letter J existed in the Hebrew language when it did not. This author is the only person I've ever come across who makes such a claim. The rest of the scholarly world is totally against him. And so this is why, and this document I read early on in the 80s. So I've been aware of this linguistic fact for a long time. So Webster's Universal Dictionary, talking about the early relationship of the letter J to I. Quote, as a character, it was formerly used interchangeably with I, both letters having originally the same sound, and after the J sound came to be common in English, it was often written where this sound must have been pronounced. The separation of these two letters is of comparatively recent date, being brought about through the influence of the Dutch printers. And this article, which is in the chat room, you can read the whole thing. It's a quite extensive article on the history of the letter J. So essentially what the authors are saying, and other encyclopedias and dictionaries totally agree, that the letter J is a recent addition to the English language, and that originally the letter J, even in biblical times, was pronounced like an I or a Y. The pronunciational change to J, as in Jesus, did not occur until the middle 1700s. And even the King James Version of the 1611, the first edition, does not contain the letter J at all. It contains only the letter I, and it's pronounced like a wa, yeah, Jesus. First heading here. The first letter of the sacred name is Y, not J. As we have shown, the J came from the letter I. The New Book of Knowledge shows the letter I, and hence the J as well, derived from the Hebrew yota, or Y, or yod, which is the first letter of Yahweh's name, YHWH, known as the Tetragrammaton, or four letters. Hebrew is read from right to left. It is also the first letter of Yahshua's name, not a J, a Y, folks. The letter I, or Yod, in Hebrew carries the sound of E, as in police, but if you put it in the front of the word, like in Yota, you kind of slur it. You don't pronounce E. By the way, I made a mistake last time in saying that the French word I-O-U, it should be O-U-I. I mistakenly announced that. It's O-U-I. The French word we is O-U-I with the I at the end. And that's pronounced, the O and U are pronounced like a W, but it's three vowels, O-U-I. I, and that was to address the question. A lot of people say, well, the name of Yahweh consists of four vowels, not four consonants. No, that's not true. And I discussed that in great detail last night on Restoration Hour. I haven't posted that discussion yet. I will do so after this show. But let's continue. So there's a lot of etymology of words that you have to understand before you can be a critic of the Bible. If you don't know the etymology of both the letters and the words that are used in Scripture, and if you can't show how many words that have been inserted into the Bible by translators, if you can't understand that, if you can't demonstrate that, it means you don't know what you're talking about. So let's continue. The King James Version and other Bibles employ the Latinized Greek Jesus. but the facts of etymology prove that this cannot be his true name. If the King James and other Bibles are in error or in calling our Savior Jesus, which they did not originally do, it was pronounced Jesus and spelled with an I, not a J, in the 1611 version. Okay. How did this error come about? And how can we determine exactly what that precious name is? The fact is, the first copies of the 1611 King James Bible did not use the letter J, and no evidence is found to show that the letter I had the consonantal sound of J. This has been shown in the New Funk and Wagnalls Encyclopedia and many other sources. Quote, not until the middle of the 17th century did this usage become universal in English books. In the King James Bible of 1611, for example, the words Jesus and Judge are invariably Jesus and Judge, the I being pronounced like a Y. Oscar Ogg's book, The 26 Letters, which gives a history of each letter of the English alphabet, explains how the J, along with the U and W, were the last to be added to the alphabet. So we didn't start out with 26 letters. We started out with 23. And J, U, and W were added later. Quote, the three missing letters, J, U, and W, were not used by the Romans at all, nor by the Hebrews and Greeks. U and W developed from V about 1,000 years ago. So the letter V does exist in Hebrew, but there's a dispute about how it should actually be pronounced, like a V or like a W. So the U developed from V and the W also developed from V. So we have three additions to the English language from the original 23. As already confirmed, most of our American vocabulary employing the letter J stems from the French. Nearly all words containing the letter J in English are pronounced as in French, such as journal or major, although French has a considerably softer pronunciation of J, as in du jour, than English. In Spanish, the J is more of an H aspirate, as in San Jose, and that's why California has so many H sounds, like La Jolla instead of La Jolla. As confirmed already, most of our American vocabulary stems from the French. After development of the letter J, the Savior's name was changed by the translators to Jesus, but continued to be pronounced much like the letter Y. However, the pronunciation of the J soon changed completely from its former Y sound to our present J sound through the French influence. In Latin, the J was pronounced as a Y. Even today, the German tongue, among others, pronounces the J like a Y, as in July is pronounced Juli in German, and instead of Ja, it's Ja. Major in German is pronounced Major. June is Juni. Note the comments of the author F.F. Bruce, who is a very famous British Israel author, in his The Books and the Parchments, quote, in the English Bible, Hebrew proper names with Yod are represented with a J, which in modern English has quite a different sound from Y. Thus, Yehovah Yireh would have been pronounced in the Hebrew something like Yahweh Yireh. I just pronounced it in the Hebrew. It's spelled Jehovah Jireh, but even the word Jehovah is a rabbinical construction. In his book, Story of the Letters and Figures, Hubert M. Skinner provides an excellent summation of the discordant transformation inflicted upon the Savior. I like that. Discordant transformation. Man, those transgenders are going through very discordant transformations, aren't they? Lawsuits. Lawsuits abound from teenagers who had organs removed. Girls having their breasts cut off, boys having their testicles and other things cut off, claiming that this is therapy. Talk about a transformational crisis. We have got a totally transformational crisis going on in the present time, and we know who's responsible for it, okay? In some way, he says, various modern peoples who received the J from the Romans have lost the original sound and have substituted something very different. We retain the former sound in our word hallelujah, but we generally give the letter the disagreeable soft sound of G. Yod is the initial name of Jesus, of the name Jesus. It is unfortunate that the name so dear and so sacred is pronounced in a manner so different from that of the original word. The latter sounded very much as if it were Yahshua and was agreeable to the ear. Yeah, Yahshua. It's not that Jesus isn't agreeable to the ear, but Yahshua to me sounds much more agreeable. Our sounds of J and hard S are the most disagreeable in our language. And they are, yeah, because S is the sound of a snake hissing. And they are both found in our pronunciation of this short name. So did the Jews intentionally, yeah, it looks like a serpent, doesn't it? The letter S looks like a serpent. Although they did not exist in its original, certainly not in the Hebrew or the Aramaic, or I'm not sure about the Greek, how the Greek incorporated the letter S. That should be a study in itself. So, these did not exist in the original language. Jesus, a word out of place and time, is the next heading. The Bible clearly reveals that salvation is available in only one name. Quote, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, that is Adamites, in the Greek and Hebrew, whereby we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. The name the angel gave to Hebrew-speaking Mary and Joseph was Yahshua, meaning salvation of Yah, not Jesus. This original name has been made a hybrid by translators and changed into the Latinized, Greek, Grecianized name Jesus. So it's thrice removed from the original, Yahshua, first converted into Greek, then into Latin, actually, yeah, three times removed, and now into English. A name that came into our language about the time of Christopher Columbus. For a detailed explanation, request the revealing mini-study, How the Savior's Name Was Changed. And I will get to the, before I end today's show, I will get to the contact information of the producers of this pamphlet here. The following biblical study references clearly explain that Jesus, used in place of the Savior's true name, Yahshua, is erroneous. Some of these references correctly show the Y or I superior to the mistaken J. Encyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, Ecclesiastical Literature, quote, import of the name. Now, whether that means importance or the importation of the name, we'll find out. There can be no doubt that Jesus is the Greek form of a Hebrew name. Well, not Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form. Okay, let's be clear. This is what irritates me about Judeo-Christian scholarship. They make the same mistake that they're trying to correct. All right, there can be no doubt that Jesus is the Greek form of a Hebrew name, not Jesus. Jesus is the anglicized version of it. Its original and full form is Yehoshua, they claim, Numbers 13:16. It varies. Sometimes it will say Yahshua, sometimes it will say Yehoshua. By contraction, it became Joshua or Yahshua or Yeshua. And when transferred into Greek, by taking the termination characteristics of that language, it assumed the form of Jesus. So, in other words, Greek added the letter S at the end of Yahshua for grammatical purposes, and it changed the SH sound, as in Yahshua, to an S. These are the changes that made by the Greeks to the Hebrew/Aramaic Yahshua. Next, the Anchor Bible Dictionary, Jesus. Several persons mentioned in the Bible bear this name, which is a Greek form of Joshua, Hebrew Yehoshua, Acts 7:45, Hebrews 4:8. Quote, Jesus Christ is a composite name made, well, obviously in the Hebrew and Aramaic, it's not Christ, it's Messiah. Or Mashiach, Messiah. So Jesus Christ is indeed a hybrid construction from Yahshua, Messiah. But we still use the name Messiah. Handel's Messiah, for example. Okay. And the hallelujah chorus from the Messiah is not hallelujah, it's hallelujah. It's still pronounced hallelujah. Okay? Even though there's a letter J in there. So we have this hybrid creation called Jesus Christ, which originally came from Yeshua Messiah. So this is Jesus, from the Greek Jesus, which transliterates, meaning it does not define it, does not translate it, but is simply an attempt to pronounce the Hebrew Aramaic word in Greek. That's what transliterates means, which transliterates Hebrew Aramaic Yesu, the late form of the Hebrew Yehoshua, the meaning of which is Yahweh is salvation, or Yahweh saves, has saved. So the importance of these lexicons is that they agree with us in Christian identity and how these words are supposed to be pronounced and what they mean. You will not get this from a Judeo-Christian. And the Celtic languages, such as Gaelic, Welsh, Irish, etc., some of them don't have a J either, and they stem from Hebrew. So how is it possible that all of these offshoot languages which come from Hebrew, very few of them, if any, have the pronunciation of J as in the French? This goes to show that the author of I Saw the Light Ministries is a charlatan. He is a charlatan. Let's continue. The Anchor Bible, note on Matthew 1:1, quote, Jesus, the word is the Greek rendering of a well-known Hebrew name. It was Yehoshua, they don't add the at the end. First taken then by inner Hebrew phonetic change, it became Yahshua, and by a still northern dialectical shift, which he must mean the 10 northern tribes, Yeshua. The first element, Yahweh, means the Lord. It means I am. It means the being. I am that I am. I create reality. While the second comes from Shua, to help save, the most probable meaning is, O Lord, save. And that's from Volume 26, page 2 of the Anchor Bible. The New International Dictionary of the Christian Church, quote, Jesus Christ, the founder of Christianity, bore Jesus, the Greek form of Yahshua and Yeshua, as his personal name. Christ, a title, a meaning anointed, is the title given by him by his followers. Mercer Dictionary of the Bible, Yeshua, an Aramaic form of the name Yahshua, meaning Yahweh is salvation. They have the meaning correct. Most of these dictionaries, even though they would not claim to be identity, they have it correct. It occurs only in post-exilic biblical literature, which supports the later origin of the name. Yahshua, the son of Nun, is referred to in one passage as Yeshua, Nehemiah 8:17, page 444. And I addressed this question last night as well, having cited an author who explains the difference between Exodus 3:14, which is a verb form of Yahweh, and Exodus 3:15, which is a consonantal form of the name Yahweh. And he explains the difference because he says, well, even when the Israelites were at Mount Sinai, the Aramaic language and the Hebrew language had not yet separated from one another. They were virtually identical. Okay, it's because the Arameans were kinsmen of the Hebrews, and they had moved north to what is today Aramean territory. And many of the modern people who live there, Armenians, are actually Arameans. There's a slightly different pronunciation. Edgar Steele was an Armenian. He's clearly white. Clearly Anglo, and an Aramean. Armenian is just a change in spelling of Aramean, okay? meaning Yahweh is salvation. It occurs only in post-exilic biblical literature, and I just explained how the Aramaic and the Hebrew got separated shortly after Mount Sinai. From the Newberry Reference Bible on Matthew 1:24, Jesus, Hebrew, Yahshua or Yehoshua, compare Numbers 13, 8 and 16, where Hoshea, verse 8, signifying salvation, there's a typo here, it says salvation, is altered in verse 16 to Yehoshua, the salvation of Jehovah, or Jehovah the Savior. And I'll get into Jehovah and the origin of the word Jehovah. It's definitely got a Jewish origin, not a biblical origin. Next, the International Standard Biblical Encyclopedia, quote, Jesus, they say Jesus, but they show that it's pronounced Jesus, is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Yahshua, Yehoshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation. It stands therefore in the Septuagint and the Apocalypse for Joshua, it's an abbreviation for probably Apocrypha for Joshua. And in Acts 7:45 and in Hebrews 4:8 likewise represents the Old Testament Yahshua. In Matthew 1:21, the name is commanded by the angel to be given to the son of Mary, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. It is the personal name of the L-RD in the Gospels. Why are they using Jewish spelling? In the Gospels and in the Acts. This is from Volume 3, page 1626. The Erdman's Bible Dictionary, quote, the given name Jesus means Savior. It is the Greek equivalent of Yeshua, Hebrew Yeshua, from Yehoshua, Yahweh saves. Christ is the title indicating that he is the Anointed One, the Messiah, from Hebrew Messiah. Yeshua, Yahweh is salvation. The Bible Almanac, the name Jesus, which is identical with Joshua and means God is Savior, emphasizes his role as the Savior of his people. Matthew 1:21. By the way, the Jews reject him, and they reject his name. The Jews hate his name with a passion, an absolute passion. Whether you pronounce it Jesus or Yahshua or whatever, they absolutely hate his name. Christ is the New Testament equivalent of Messiah, a Hebrew word meaning the Anointed One. Holman Bible Dictionary, Jesus Christ, Greek form of Yahshua, and title meaning Yahweh is salvation and the Anointed One or Messiah. So we're not pulling a rabbit out of the hat when we in Two Seed Line Identity assert that his name means Yahweh is salvation. Just about every source that we're quoting here agrees with us that that is the case. All right? And so I don't think I need to go into any more, but this pamphlet is loaded with this type of information. I'll just read the last one here. New International Dictionary of the Christian Church. Quote, Jesus Christ, the founder of Christianity, bore Jesus, the Greek form of Yahshua or Yeshua, as his personal name. Christ or Christos, anointed, or to be christened. So the Greek word is Christ, to christen, but that doesn't have the exact same meaning as anointed, because the prophets and the people of Israel and the Messiah himself were anointed, not christened. Christening can mean sprinkling or baptism, and that's the Greek word for baptism is baptismo, which means full immersion. Yahweh is salvation, or Yahweh is opulence. That's from the Dictionary of the Bible by James Hastings. Sorry, I went up one. All of these authorities and scholars agree, says the pamphlet now, his name is not the Latinized, Grecianized name Jesus, but reflects his Hebrew heritage and the mission he was given to save his people, Israel, through the name of the Heavenly Father, Yahweh. I come in my Father's name. He did not say, I come in my own name, Jesus. I come in my Father's name, which is Yahweh. And who does he pray to? Our Father who art in heaven. He's referring to Yahweh there. He's not referring to himself. So how did he end up with the name so many erroneously call today? Greek is not the original New Testament language, which is something all of us should know. Very early in history, even before the Messiah, Greek had become a world language. Alexander the Great conquered the lands east and south of Greece, establishing Hellenistic culture and society as far as the Indus River and south into Egypt. The coin, K-O-I-N-E, or common Greek dialect, prevailed, becoming dominant in the wake of Alexander's exploits. Greek survived the ravages of Roman persecution, as well as the Crusades, and continued to be spoken up to the time of the Muslim conquest of the Mediterranean era. Okay, or area and era. So I also believe that the J might have come into France through the Arabs, who made numerous incursions into France and into Italy and into Austria, trying to conquer us, our ancestors. So this is, you have to know your linguistic history to under, yeah, okay, and Edgar was married to an Armenian as well. Okay, thank you, Seven. And I'm trying to say, well, there's a lot of Armenian actresses who are clearly white, and not Jewish, and not Arab. So the Arameans, the Armenians, are the remnant of Arameans in Mesopotamia. They clearly are the remnant of those people, okay? So let's continue. Following the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, I don't like the use of the Jewish common era because that's an attempt to get rid of the name of our Savior, Rome crushed the Bar Kokhba rebellion in 135 AD. The Roman army destroyed anything Jewish, that's good, that's right, especially religious scrolls and books, including the Torah. Now, I'm not sure where they stand on the word Jew, but the Roman army destroyed anything Judean and Judahite. Again, the word Jew is falsely referencing both Judah and Judea, which are two completely different designations, two completely separate and distinct peoples. And most often throughout history, the Judeans or Idumeans, Edomites, have been the worst enemies of Israel. So how can you conclude the Edomites in the definition of a word that means Judah? How can you include them in that definition? It just shows the confusion that the Jews have been able to create in our minds over who's who and who's Jew. Especially religious scrolls and books, including the Torah. Now, the Torah was written by Judahites and Israelites, not by Idumean Jews. Okay? The Jews claimed to have written it, but they did not. They did not write a single word of Scripture, but they redacted the Hebrew in their Talmud, in their Masoretic text, which means they excluded a lot of verses, especially those verses which prophesy the coming of a Messiah. They did not want anybody to believe that the Old Testament prophesied a Messiah. This was followed by the Catholic Inquisitions in Europe, eradicating anything Jewish. Well, that's good. That's one good thing the Catholic Church did. The Crusaders made fair game of the Jews, another good thing, right? Because this just goes to prove that the early Christians hated the Jews. Up until the Jews hit upon this fantastic idea of called Zionism, and they altered the scriptures using Cyrus I. Schofield to add notes to the King James Version, in which he states, well, this means the Jews are God's. No, the Jews are not Israel. So no Christian gave Jews credit for being Israel until very late in history, even though the Jews have made this claim for over 2,000 years. So the Crusaders made fair game of the Jews, thanks be to Yahweh, ruthlessly destroying any vestiges of Hebrew. Now, that was probably a mistake, because they should have kept the Hebrew writings alive. And I'm sure they didn't destroy them all, but Herod destroyed the Hebrew writings as well. He destroyed the records because he himself knew he was an Idumean, Edomite, and he had to destroy those records so that nobody could prove that he wasn't a Judahite. Okay? An increasing number of competent Bible scholars now agree with scholar Charles Cutler Torrey, documents of the primitive church, that the New Testament in whole or in part was first written in Hebrew and only later translated into Greek. Write us for a list of renowned Bible scholars who uphold an original Hebrew New Testament, as well as the mini-study, was the New Testament originally Greek? Okay, and Pastor Martin's also is of this opinion. We have discussed that on Voice of Christian Israel a few times. In the September 12, 1986 issue of the Washington Times, David Bivin notes that Yahshua, like his contemporaries, most likely spoke Hebrew. Bivin, the director of the Jerusalem School for the Study of the Gospels, also believes that the original account of Yahshua's life was written in Hebrew, not Greek or Aramaic. In addition, he and his Jerusalem scholars agree that by considering the Evangels Hebraic, many textual difficulties are cleared up, strongly suggesting that the Evangels were first written in Hebrew. Yeah, because the translators who translated into Greek missed a lot of Hebrew idioms, now referred to as Hebraisms. Idioms often have a completely different meaning from the literal translation, and many of the, and especially the KJV translators, were not aware of these things, and that's why they make mistakes, among one of the reasons they make mistakes. Even Martin Luther recognized the Hebrew roots of the New Testament. I was not aware of that. He wrote in Tishraden. Raden means readings. Tish means table. He wrote in a book called Table Readings, Tishraden, quote, although the New Testament is written in Greek, it is full of Hebraisms and Hebrew expressions. It has therefore been aptly said that the Hebrews drink from the spring, the Greeks from the stream that flows from it, and the Latins from the downstream pool, which has been mightily polluted, has it not? Translated from Pinchas E. Lapide in Hebrew in the Church, Tishraden. Again, the legacy of Martin Luther has been expunged, primarily because he wrote a book called The Jews and Their Lies. The Jews and Their Lies. That's available on the internet. If you have not read that book, you must. Just go online, search for it in your browser. Where is the justification for changing the Savior's name? Even in a Greek context, there is no J or J sound in the coin or any other Greek dialect known. The Greek New Testament of the Bible provides the basis for our present Latin and English translations. Obviously, the J came from another source, as Greek has no phonetic equivalent of the letter J in its 24 characters of the alphabet. Neither does Hebrew. Directly contradicting Rabbi anti-Yahwist at that website. I saw the light of darkness. I saw the lightministries.com, which is clearly a work of charlatanry. I'm going to continue reading from that just to prove how wrong that author is next Saturday night on Restoration Hour. Again, a quick reminder that this Tuesday at 3 p.m. Central Time, I will be interviewed by Gavin of the Off-Grid Ireland website. He has a large following there of segregationist Irish people who are tired of the multiculturalism being imposed upon Ireland, as we Americans are tired of the multiculturalism being imposed on us, as the Germans are getting tired of it, as the Swedes are getting tired of it, the Danes, etc., because they can see how their women are being raped and how their society is being destroyed by these illegal aliens imported by the perfidious Jew. Okay, it's very clear that that's what's happening. You're not allowed to say that in Europe, however. We can say that here in America, but even here, because this is a free speech platform, others who do not discuss the Jewish question claim they are free speech, but they are not. If, as the encyclopedia said, in order to know who rules over you, find out who you cannot criticize, and these people are afraid to criticize the Jews. Okay, so they know who rules over them. They know it, absolutely. They live in fear. Would you prefer to live in fear or in freedom? Where is the justification for changing the Savior's name? There is none. There absolutely is none. Obviously, the J came from another source, as Greek has no phonetic equivalent of the letter J in its 24 characters, neither does Hebrew, etc., etc. So, the words judge, journal, jack, jam, jet, jog, etc. likely would have been all spelled beginning with the Greek iota, or iota, the English I, and would be pronounced as E in the English In English, the letter J would be replaced by the letter I, okay, going backwards to its original. We would read yudge, yernal, yak, yam, yet, yog, etc. Some orthographers would prefer that these examples begin with today's letter Y instead of I. We cannot ignore the fact that there was no letter J in any language until around the 15th century, and therefore must conclude that the name Jesus never existed before 500 years ago. Let us not forget that we read from a Hebrew Bible. It is the account of Yahweh's dealing with his people Israel. Yahweh spoke to a people who understood Hebrew. Yahweh is the mighty one of the Hebrews. Remember also that there was no Jew before the time of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, so the sacred name is not Jewish. Thank you very much. The seeker of truth must not shy from the Hebrew roots of the true biblical faith. Thank you. I've been saying that for a long time. If you are, in fact, of a Hebrew origin, why do you shun your heritage? I'm not saying you must replace your English or Anglo-Saxon heritage with Hebrew, but you should know your roots and learn at least a little bit about it, because that's what you are. For we are children of Abraham, thank you very much, a Hebrew, Genesis 14:13. Hebrew means to cross over, and also means Eber, of the patriarch Eber. And we are to cross over the falsity and error of this world and join in pure worship of Yahweh and his son, Yahshua. Thank you very much. No, folks, I am not the author of this document. I'll give you that toward the end of the show. Savior's name explained in biblical versions. Inspired scripture calls attention to a singular name wherein rests our eternal salvation. The following Bible versions have these footnotes explaining on Matthew 1:21 the verse where the angel tells Joseph, or Yosef, what to name the Redeemer of mankind. And here are these examples. Bullet. Jesus, Hebrew, Yehoshua, means Yahweh saves, the Jerusalem Bible. Bullet. Jesus is the Greek form of Yahshua, means the Lord saves, New International Version. Jesus, from the Greek form of a common Hebrew name, Yahshua, derived from Yasha, Y-A-S-H-A, he saves, HarperCollins Study Bible. Bullet, she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Yeshua, which means Adonai saves. Well, that's incorrect. It means Yahweh saves, because he will save his people from their sin. Now, who? And this is from the Jewish New Testament, no less. David Stern, translator. Hebrew, Yoshia, reflected in the name Yeshua, Greek Jesus, the original New Testament, Hugh J. Schoenfeld. Next bullet point, Jesus, the Greek form of Yeshua. The full significance of the name Jesus is seen in the original Yehoshua, which means Jehovah is Savior, but I disagree with the additional vowel that they put in Jehovah. That I have discovered that this is a Jewish construct much later, and not merely Savior, as the word is often explained. Yeah, it means Yahweh saves. Weymouth's New Testament in modern speech. That's the problem. Modern Christians don't know their Hebrew roots, and even the Hebrew roots movement, so-called, falsely believes that the Jews are Israel. Next bullet, Jesus Christ. The name Jesus is from the Greek and Latin for the Hebrew Yeshua or Yahshua, which means the Lord is salvation or Yahweh is salvation. Christ is from the Greek for the Hebrew Mashiach, Messiah, meaning anointed one, the Ryrie Study Bible. Jesus, Yeshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation, the Kingdom Interlinear Translation of the Greek Scriptures. The following commentaries add their observations on the Savior's name. Matthew Henry's commentary on Matthew 1:21, quote, Jesus is the same name with Yahshua, the termination only being changed for the sake of conforming it to the Greek grammar. Interpreter's Bible, note on Matthew 21:21, quote, Jesus, for he shall save, the play on words, Yeshua, Jesus, Yehoshua shall save, is possible in Hebrew but not in Aramaic. The name Yahshua means Yahweh is salvation. Thank you very much, Interpreter's Bible. Barnes notes, note on Matthew 1:21, quote, his name Jesus. The name Jesus is the same as Savior. It is derived from the verb signifying to save. In Hebrew, it is the same as Yahshua. In two places, Acts 7:45 and Hebrews 4:8, in the New Testament, it is used where it means Joshua of the Old Testament, the leader of, not the Jews, Israel, into Canaan. And in our translation, the name Joshua or Yahshua should not have been retained. Actually, those two verses are references back to the Joshua of the Old Testament. So that's why we pronounce them differently. Joshua, the Old Testament patriarch, versus Yahshua, our Savior. There's a reason why we make distinctions in names. You know, there's sometimes a good reason, sometimes a bad reason. So we would try to retain only, seven of nonsense. Today's Lutherans aren't Lutheran. Yeah, they're not. They're Judeos. They're Judeos. Okay. And Seven asks, how is Pastor Martins? I haven't heard from him. I should contact him because I do have his cell phone number. He may respond to Skype as well to see how he's doing. That's he's piqued my curiosity, Seven. I will definitely do that later today. Okay, so let's continue with these articles, which are a great study in Hebrew, Greek, Latin, English, etc. The article continues, and I won't bother going into this article anymore. You get the point. They have tremendous documentation to prove that Yahweh is the correct name and that Yahshua is also the correct name and not anything else. The prefix Yah is a short or poetic form of Yahweh, the Heavenly Father's name, as found in Hallelujah, and in names of many biblical personalities, as we will see. Thus, the Savior's name begins with the prefix Yah that begins Yahweh's name. As revealed in Psalm 68:4, sing unto Elohim, sing praises to his name, extol him that rides upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him, unquote. Shua, the last part of the Savior's name, carries the primary meaning of salvation. Thus, Yahshua means the salvation of Yah. When Israel crossed over the Red Sea, Moses sang a song of thanks to Yahweh in Exodus 15. The saving name appears in verse 2. Yah is become my salvation, which is a version of Yahshua. The following reasons clearly show why the name Jesus could never have been the Savior's name with about 9 minutes to go. One, there is no letter J or equivalent in the Hebrew. There is no letter J or equivalent in Greek. There was no letter J in English until about 500 years ago. Jesus, an etymological hybrid from Greek and Latin, has no inherent etymological meaning in Greek or Latin, not to mention Hebrew or English. As I've been telling you, the word Jesus does not have any meaning. It's not derived from a definition. It's a transliteration. Joseph, or Yosef in Hebrew, a Hebrew and a Judahite. Actually, he was not a Judahite either. He was an Israelite. So there are a couple of mistakes in this document. They don't understand that the word Jew should not be applied to Israelites. Was told by the angel Gabriel that Mary, or Miriam, a Judahite woman, would give birth to one who would save his people Israel from their sins. Israel and Jew are not synonyms, folks. Israel and Jew are not synonyms. Stop using them as such. Only the Hebrew name Yeshua means salvation of Yahweh. Yeshua, he himself, said that he has come in his Father's name. Thank you very much. It's another verse, Yahweh, Yeshua, and you receive me not. John 5:43. Well, why did his kinsmen not receive him? Because the Jews, the Edomite Jews, who comprised the scribes and Pharisees of the day, were agitating against him and the name of Yahweh at the same time. But Yeshua said, before Abraham was, I am. That is the meaning of the Hebrew name, Yahweh. I am, or I am that I am. I am being. I am the creator. I am the eternal one. Mary, a Hebrew, not a Jewess, was told the same thing that Joseph was in Luke 1:31. Would a celestial being announce the coming Savior to Jews? No, he wouldn't announce it to Jews. He would announce it only to Judahites and Israelites who spoke Hebrew or Aramaic. Now, it's a good question. Did the Edomites speak Hebrew? Probably not. They may have learned Aramaic, and they may have spoken Greek. They certainly spoke Latin because they were in concert, conspirators with the Romans against Judah. But it's true of the Canaanite Jews and Jews around the world that they are multilingual. They learn various different languages so that they can, number one, talk behind your back in a different language, and number two, communicate through commerce. So they had to learn at least small sections of these other languages so that they could be a commercial entity, because they traveled quite a lot. The Jews did in the ancient world. They traveled all over the place selling stuff and buying stuff and cheating people, right? And money lending, right? That's the Jewish enterprise. So they had to learn all these different languages, so they were pretty much fluent in many languages at the same time, which was not true of our people, because we didn't engage in commerce with the other races like the Jews did. And of course, the Jews themselves are a different race. Question. Let me finish this one bullet point here. Would a celestial being announce the coming Savior to Jews? No, he wouldn't. He would announce it only to Judahites and Israelites who spoke Hebrew or Aramaic, proclaiming a Romanized Grecian name beginning with the letter J that did not exist, but would originate in a European tongue 1,500 years later. Remember, it was to Israel, a Shemitic people who spoke and understood Hebrew, that his saving name was first revealed. Last bullet point here. Would Hebrew parents give their baby a hybridized Greek name devoid of any meaning? Especially such an important name that would identify the very Savior of the world? Well, not the world. Savior of Israel. And taking dominion over the world is our burden. It will be our job for sure. It won't be a burden anymore at the second coming. One final heading here. How did Yahshua become Jesus? It is necessary that we understand the prefix Yah has come to us in the form of Yeh, Y-E-H, a type of which is found in Yeshua, commonly used for Yahshua. It is also manifest in the names of Yehovah and Jesus. The Yeh is Aramaic. Yah is Hebrew. Almost any scholarly reference work will acknowledge that rabbinic tradition has suppressed the true name Yahweh centuries before the Messiah came at Bethlehem. Writing Yahweh's name in the Hebrew, Jewish scribes inserted a Sheva, which looks like a colon here, instead of the proper gametz, T, thus changing the vowel sound ah in Yah to eh. This was done to conceal the sacred name, thus yielding the improper Yehovah and Yeshua. Thank you very much, because I've been teaching for years that the word Jehovah is a Talmudic invention, just another way of distracting us from his true name, which is Yahweh. This is practiced even today by such groups as the Jews for Jesus, who contend that Yeshua is the Jewish way to say Jesus. Well, they just put a hyphen in there instead of an A-Y. Yeah. So it's pronounced like a yeah instead of a ya. This may have been done to avoid offending the Jews and their proscription against even the short form Yah. The Jews are the ones who have forbidden that the word be pronounced. The Bible does not forbid it. The Bible only forbids taking his name in vain. Nowhere does the Bible say we should not even pronounce his name. That's Jewish, folks. Strong's Hebrew Dictionary clearly shows the erroneous vowel pointing of Yah to Yeh in the first column of page 48, where the resulting Yeh is obvious. In every name in this column, the Sheva, which looks like a colon, appears under the Hebrew letter Yod. Okay, so to give an example here. And the pronunciation given following the Hebrew spelling begins with the prefix Yeh. Using the E instead of the proper Ah is another ploy of the adversary to do away with the family name Yah. Yes, we are his family. We are his people. We, true Israel, are his people. So why would the Jews, who claim to be his people, hate his name? Why is that? The first syllable of both Yahweh's and Yahshua's name. This explains how the E came about in the name Jesus. The next letter in Jesus' S results from the fact that the Greek had no SH sound, only S, sigma. This was incorporated into the Latin text. The U in Jesus comes from the U in Yahshua. The New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology explains, quote, Jesus is the Greek form of the Old Testament Judahite name Yeshua, arrived at by transcribing the Hebrew and adding an S to the nominal to facilitate declension, that is, to facilitate Greek grammar, because Greek grammar demands an S at the end of Yeshua to fit in with their grammatical rules, okay? That's how it came about. So, let me just scroll down really quickly to the bottom here, and I'll post this in the uploading of this article, which is an outstanding article. How many pages is it? It is, oh, there's no pagination here. And it is Yahweh's Assembly in Yahshua. It gives an address here, 2963 County Road 233, Kingdom City, Missouri, 65262. And they have online www.yaiy.org. www.yaiy.org. And they have two telephone numbers here as well. As I said, I will post these when I upload this episode of Voice of Christian Israel. So, folks, thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. Yeah, now you know how the word Jesus came about. It is not the true name of our Savior, which is Yahshua. Thanks for listening. See you all next time. Bye-bye.